How many of you remember as a child reading or hearing about the Good Samaritan? Okay, that's basically everyone, almost everyone in the room. I'm going to tell you something unique about the story of the Good Samaritan. So if you look at this map here, okay, you see that squiggly line? If you were to go from that bottom left arrow, which it's not showing on there now, but just 10 kilometers north of Bethlehem, which is near the bottom left there, just north of that, at that arrow area, and En Rogel and Jebus, and that area, the Mount of Olives, that is Jerusalem. Okay, so you have Jerusalem, and then you take the winding path, which in all reality doesn't really look like that. It's for them, it was mostly going north, and then west, and a little bit south, and then back north again. And that takes you just past Jericho into, just past Gilgal into Jericho. I said them flipped around, okay? And the person who is headed from Jerusalem to Jericho was found in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. So take your Bible to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 25. And then we're going to paint a little bit of a picture here for you to understand even a little bit better the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, I want everyone to turn there, please, if you have your Bible. And we're going to read verses 25 all the way down to verse 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." So this lawyer is a pretty well-versed individual. They know the law, right? They know what it says they're supposed to do. And he said unto him, Jesus says this, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." So he says, you understand this. This is what you're supposed to do. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who's my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him in his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" So Jesus, in verse 35, ends the story of the Good Samaritan. In verse 36, he poses the question, "Which of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Then said Jesus unto him, 'Go, and do thou likewise.'" It's very interesting to me in these verses. We're going to note in a few minutes that a question is posed. Jesus asks, answers that question, and then Jesus throws the question back on him. So, who would you say is your neighbor? This picture right here is of an area just southwest of Jericho. It's called Adumim. And this area landmark is defined by the northern border of Judah, westward from the mouth of Jericho, west of the mouth of Jordan to Jerusalem. So if we were to look at this, what's there on the right? You know what Jordan is? What is that? The river. Okay, so just west of it. Okay. And It defined the southern border of Benjamin eastward from Jerusalem to the mouth of Jordan. It's identified with the gorge part of the road. So you have that gorge, and he has to do what? He has to climb up and over. So the path is treacherous. From Jerusalem to Jericho is not an easy path, and therefore it is an easy place, just like if you watch Western movies, it's an easy place for who to hide? Thieves. It's an easy place for thieves to hide around the corner of a mountain, and there's that gorge. So it makes very much sense that if Jesus tells this story, and he tells this story to the lawyer will get it quickly. He goes from Jerusalem to Jericho, and this happens to this man, so it immediately clicks with this man. The lawyer, seeking to justify himself, asks this question: who is my neighbor? I know what I'm supposed to do according to the law. I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with everything that I am. And I should love my neighbor as myself. So who's my neighbor then? Because in that day and age, there was a great disparity between one people group and another people group. If you were in your people group, you cared for who? Your people group. If there was someone outside your people group, did you care for them? Did you love them? If you saw them hurting, did you go to them? No, you stayed away from them. So this story of this person going from Jerusalem to Jericho, this Jew going to that place, it resonates. Now, what's very sad is the first two individuals that go by, the priest and the Levite, are two individuals that you would think, come on. You are the ones to meet that need. So I want to talk about a triple distress. A triple distress. What happens in verse 30? A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves. So he was robbed of his clothes. They stripped off his raiment. Traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among thieves and was stripped. Since Adam's fall, the world has been a den of thieves. Sin and iniquity strip us of righteousness and hope, leaving us vulnerable to spiritual harm. That is what sin does. So this illustration is not just for that lawyer to understand. I'm supposed to love even the person that is hurting, that doesn't even associate with me. A Samaritan with a Jew? Total opposites. Not only is he robbed of his clothes, but he's wounded. And they wounded him. They hurt him, leaving him ultimately for what is third. And I'll say it in a moment. He was likely injured while resisting the robbers, showing our weakness against sudden evil. If you were to encounter somebody, and obviously in that day they didn't have guns, but if you're traveling from one place to another place and you knew that there was a potential of there being thieves along the way, would you just go completely unarmed? How many of you would just like, shorts, t-shirt, flip-flops, make my way there, who cares? I know my Taekwondo from the YouTube videos I watched. Come on. Every single one of us would at least consider the idea, I'm going to protect myself. If you're taking your family, I'm going to be out in front of them and I'm going to be watching carefully, right? So you can imagine that he's wounded even from resisting what was happening. Many suffer moral wounds, lying along life's highways, and their hopes and reputations are shattered. Just like this individual who was wounded. And what was he left for? He was left for half dead. Helpless, waiting for compassion and aid, many are spiritually half-hearted. They're unaware of their condition. Let's not judge harshly, for under different circumstances, we might be exactly where they are. You know, this illustration is very unique because it touches directly to the heart of the lawyer for him to understand this individual is hurting. And they're hurting in more ways than one. Why? Because not only have they been robbed and everything taken away from them and they're wounded and they're about to die, but then comes by two individuals that should care for him, right? Two individuals. And the hurt is further inflicted. The third comes along and it's totally different. So what are the three perspectives? We need to have three perspectives here. There are three responses that could be found from these individuals. First is apathy. The priest disregarded the man, concentrating on his rituals. Adherence to the law doesn't offer hope. And what happens with this priest? Does this priest see the need and run to it and then realize, oh, I'm too busy or something else is going on? No. Look down at verse 31. Now, I want you to be very careful in understanding the wording here. Verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. Just by chance. A person comes by who should show care to him, a priest. And when he saw him, he ran to him, right? What does it say? He passed by where?
On the other side.
You know, a couple weeks ago, I was leaving church. And if you left church, if you stayed here at Lead, maybe it was about a month and a half ago. If you left church around 8:45, 8:50, and you go out West Lee to the stoplight at the gas station here, and you go on to Wade Hampton, you turn left there, you turn right or go across, there was an accident. There was actually a minivan flipped over. A white Sienna was flipped over. Now, would it have been wise for me to completely disregard the ambulances, the fire trucks, the police cars, cones, the firemen, the police officers, all the bystanders, the people that were injured, and the vehicles, and just like blow right into the lane that I need to go in? Would that make sense? No, that's unwise. Right? Because I would probably get glass all over the tires of my truck and pop the tires. I'd probably run into a fire truck. Okay, here's the illustration. You see an accident, and let's say that help is already there. You're like, okay, the need is met. But let's say that you come up to a stoplight and there's someone crossing the road and they trip on the curb and they fall. And they're off the road, but they fall. What would be the compassionate thing for you and for me to do? Just stop and go check, right? Just the natural thing is, someone got injured, I'm going to go check on them, right? But this priest, who thinks he is holy, sees this, and what does he do? Carelessly runs to the opposite side of the road to avoid even contact with that individual. That apathy of, I don't even care. Is that your attitude tonight? And that maybe not just toward other individuals, but maybe even toward your God. Are you running the opposite direction of needs? Are you running the opposite direction of being right with God? And saying, I don't want that. I don't want reconciliation. I don't want to give up what I think is right. You know, that priest had some really religious rituals that he followed. And he thought, if I go to this person, I will be what? Unclean, right? I can't do that. And he thinks his religious rituals make him right. And maybe in this room tonight, some of us think, my religious rituals of just being present is enough. Otherwise, I'm going to show as much apathy as possible. I'm going to do the least amount possible just to get by. I'm going to throw a smile on my face if I have to, but I'm just going to make it work. Maybe you're apathetic tonight. Or maybe you're interested. The Levite observed but didn't act, illustrating curiosity devoid of compassion. Understanding without action is hollow. Look at verse 32. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. Okay, so the contrast from verse 31 to 32 is that that priest sees the need and he runs the opposite direction. He crosses all the way across the road as far as he possibly can to stay away from this individual that's wounded, that is unclean, to say, I will not be near you. Now the Levite goes over and sees the need. He assesses the need and he says, it's not for me. I'm gonna keep going. He came close, but then he goes to the opposite side. Have you had an interest in spiritual things, but the world keeps pulling you away? Have you seen the need to be right with God? Have you seen the need to be in the lives of other people, but you say, not for me? I'm willing to observe it. I'm willing to be near it, but I'm not willing to step into it because that means compromise on what I want. Maybe you're not apathetic. Maybe you're not just totally running away from God, but you're kind of on the fence. And teenagers, we all must admit that in the teenage years, it is easy to be on that fence, to be standing on top of the fence, say, which way do I want to go with my life? And maybe some of you are there. And you say, I'm interested in spiritual things, but I don't know if I want to commit myself to it. It's going to cost me if I commit to it. You know what's going to cost you? A life of sinfulness. That's what it will cost you. You give it up. That's the cost. You give up sinfulness and you live for righteousness. You give that up and you live for Jesus. Are you interested? Or are you willing to have empathy and actually meet the need? You see the need and you run to it. Despite being scorned by Jews, the Samaritan displayed kindness and rescued the injured Jew, mirroring Christ's love and selflessness. So what happens? These verses, verse 33 all the way down to verse 35, three verses are dedicated to this Samaritan who cared for the Jew. He had compassion. Now, I want to back up, actually. I want to tell you this. What action total did the priest have? Look down at verse 31. What action did he have? What? Okay, so that is one action. He saw, I'm done, I'm out. Because the sight is not necessarily an action, right? But he saw him, and in that sight, he says, I'm not here, I'm gone. So one action. Not even interested. You see the need, and you're like, I could care less. I'm apathetic. The Levite has how many actions? Look down. Two. He sees the need and he goes to it, and then he realizes this is not for me. I'm interested, but I'm not willing to commit, and he runs away. So he has two. Now listen to the amount of actions that this Samaritan took over and over and over to meet the needs of others. He had compassion. He went to him. He bound his wounds. He set him on the beast. He brought him to the inn. He took care of him, and he gave 2 pence to the host, and he said, another action, I will come back and reimburse everything that you need for the care that you just gave to him. How many actions?
Eight
actions. Maybe some of us tonight feel as though our life is boring. Maybe it's boring based on some of the events that happen in your life or don't happen in your life. Maybe it's boring because you're apathetic, or maybe you're interested, but you're not willing to commit to spiritual things. Therefore, you don't have purpose in your life. This Samaritan sees the need and he says, I know what I'm doing. I'm running to it. Is that you tonight? Do you see needs and do you run to them? 4 times the amount of even the interested one is the amount of things that the Samaritan, who is hated and mocked by Jews, does for the Jew. He runs to that need. You know, 2 pence for us may sound like not much, but 2 pence is the amount of money that it was earned in 2 days of work. This individual gave up 2 days of work to meet the immediate needs of this Jew at the inn. And then he says to the host, oh, and if there's more, I'll come back and I'll pay it back. I'll cover further costs. He sees the need, and he doesn't just meet it immediately, but he cares enough to say, I will be present. I have to go, but I will cover the cost. You know, the Good Samaritan reflects Jesus, who arrived where we were, vulnerable and injured, showed deep love and selflessness through his compassion. healed wounds using his spirit and teachings. He cared for the individuals. Those spiritual wounds were healed. He offered shelter and forged new connections with individuals that were never going to be there. Can you think just for a moment of the person that hates you the most? Imagine running up to that person and saying, I love you and I want to be best friends with you and I'm going to meet your needs and I'm going to continue meeting your needs. This Jew sees the Samaritan and says, can you imagine what's going through the mind of this Jew? If he's even half there. Wait, this is someone that we mock. Someone that we hate. And he's meeting my needs. And he continues to meet my needs. And he's going to come back and cover the cost for meeting my needs. You know, Jesus offered shelter. And he offers shelter from the storms of this life. But he provides special care and guidance too. The Samaritan meets some very specific needs that the Jew had. And he guided him to a location of rest and recuperation. That Jew was not left on his own. So what do you do in your friendships? What do you do with your siblings? What do you do with your parents? What do you do with your teachers and leadership in your life and anyone you interact with? How do you interact with them? How are you meeting their needs? Are you being specific and caring for other individuals? Or are you interested, but not enough to actually take the step to meet the specific need? Every individual in this room should be seeing the example of Jesus through this story and emulating it. You know, Jesus is like the Samaritan. Pay the 2 pence, pay the 2 days of wages. And he says this, and take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee, he says in verse 35. Jesus leaves assurances for our future. Jesus didn't just bind up our wounds and heal us. Jesus says, I give you hope for now and the future. You have me not just for now, but forever. You know, as we consider our role in the lives of others, how do we treat those around us? You could be around people every day and yet trip right over their needs obliviously. You could be right in front of an individual and miss it. Are you apathetic to the needs of others? You know, your apathy doesn't just start there. It doesn't just start by seeing a need and saying, I don't want to meet that. It's been a life habit of yours that you've built. Now, are you interested in others, but you hesitate to take the next step? Or are you empathetic to the needs of others? So, what are we to do with the people around us? Well, let's just ask the question that the lawyer asked. Who is our neighbor? Those to whom you have mercy. The lawyer himself answered it. Those to whom you see a need and you meet it. They need their neighbor to love them unconditionally. They need you. The priest, think of him. Are you stuck in the ritual of life, nose down, thinking only of you? Are you the Levite known to be the selected ones to serve in the temple? You come and you look, but you depart on the other side. God's called you out just like the Levites. And he said, I want you to serve. And you see the need and you say, I'm kind of interested, but not willing to commit. Or are you the Samaritan who is hated, yet he shows mercy? Above and beyond is the definition of true friendship. You go above and beyond the needs to show you love. And that's because you understand love first. So who's your neighbor? Those around you that you see in need, and you go and show mercy. Jesus is the redeemer of this story. He is. That though, when people don't see the need, when they see the need in their own strength, they cannot meet it. Jesus can meet a need. And that need that truly is represented by the Good Samaritan is eternal life. If you're here tonight and you don't know him as Savior, he can save you. He can bind up some wounds that are hurting. He can give you eternal life. And as Peter said, he can give you a lively hope, a hope that is alive. Will you trust in him tonight? Will you be the person that though you may be hated, you still show mercy? Though you may be rejected, you still reach out and meet the need. You aren't apathetic. You aren't simply interested, but you go and you meet the need. You show empathy. You run to people. Let's pray.